This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my brothers in Islam, I encourage you and myself to fear no one but Allah. As Allah your Lord states in the Holy Quran, all those who believe, fear Allah. Fear Allah the way you should be feared, and do not die unless you're on a state of Islam. My brothers in Islam, we are talking about the season of Hajj. We are coming to the end of the month of Dhul Qa'dah to start a new month, which is the month of Dhul Hijjah. And it's called the month of Dhul Hijjah because it is the month of Hajj. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam talks about the most important day of Hajj, which is the day of Arafah. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes mention and says, Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. So the most important day of Hajj is the day of Arafah. You miss out on the day of Arafah, you miss out on the day of Hajj. So in the next few days, the day of Arafah will start. And the days of Hajj had already started while people are flocking from all around the world, from all walks of life, going to Mecca and Medina to go and respond to the call of Ibrahim and the call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is the main call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعِ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. It is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rights. So it's the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us that we respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform Hajj. Go and visit that sacred house, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba in Mecca al-Mukarrama, in the sacred vicinity of Masjid Allah al-Haram. So in the next few days, Hajj will start. Even though you had and you have already a number of people from all around the world visiting Hajj, but the main day of Hajj is Arafah. And it is that day that you'll find people from all around the world, all races and nationalities, all walks of life, assembling together at Arafah, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and at the same time fulfilling the rituals of Hajj and following the steps of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the steps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood at Arafah and he told the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, khudhu anni manasikakum, follow me and take the rituals of Hajj from me. So our Hajj, the acts of Hajj, the rituals of Hajj are all being demonstrated by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for us to follow the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But it all goes back to that call that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam thousands of years ago, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to make the big sacrifice of sacrificing what he loved most. Ibrahim alayhi salam was married to Sarah, and he was married to Sarah for at least 67 years. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a son that he's been longing for to have for a very long time after he got married to Hajar. And some narrations say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Ibrahim alayhi salam with Ismail when he was 100 years old. You could imagine how long he's been waiting for that moment for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him with his first newly born son, and that was Ismail. And Ismail came from his second wife, Hajar alayhi salam. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was blessed with Ismail alayhi salam, Ibrahim was so attached to Ismail, and he could imagine when you get married 1 or 2 years, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with your child, how attached you are to that child. It's like that last puzzle in your life. You could imagine when you've been waiting for this child for so long. Years go past and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with that child when you're at an old age. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Ibrahim alayhi salam with Ismail when he was nearly 100 years old. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, as you could imagine, was so attached to Ismail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that test, which is the common test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests every single believer, who comes first in your life? Allah, the creator, or the rest of the creation of Allah? Who comes first in your life? Allah or yourself? Allah or your family? Allah or your wealth? Allah or your fame? Allah or anyone else? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always tests us. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah makes that very clear in the Quran Kareem. Do you think you'll be left alone for you to say you're a believer before you are tested? The reason that Allah tests you in your wealth and tests you in your health and tests you with your family, because Allah wants to see who comes first, Allah, His commands and His orders, or everyone else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did the same thing with Ibrahim alayhi salam. Who comes first, Allah or your son? Ya Rab, you come first. Prove it. Show us. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes first, then show us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, I command you right now that you go and take your wife and your newly born son that you've been waiting for decades, go and put them in the middle of a valley of nowhere. That's a big sacrifice. I know we listen to it and it's a beautiful story that we entertain ourselves by listening to, but that's a huge sacrifice. So Ibrahim alayhi salam travels with his wife Hajar and his newly born son Ismail and takes them to the valley of Bakka. A valley of nowhere. No human beings, not even animals. It's not like there's a civilization there or there's a tribe there or she's going to stay in a nice accommodation. And he leaves Hajar and his newly born son Ismail in the middle of that valley and walks off. Hajar calls upon Ibrahim, where are you going? And Ibrahim just continues walking off. Yeah, Ibrahim, you're leaving me and your newly born son in the middle of nowhere. And Ibrahim continues to walk off. At the end, Hajar calls upon Ibrahim because she's a believer too. And she's a wife of a prophet, a messenger. Oh Ibrahim, Allahu amaraka bithalik. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command you to do this to us? That's when Ibrahim turned around and said, yes. So Hajar replies back and says, if that's the case, Allah will never forget us. You go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. If that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, then you must do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. The commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come before everyone and everything. And he travels, he sets off and leaves behind a vulnerable woman with a vulnerable child in the middle of that valley. And days go past with a bit of dates and water. And this believing woman is so connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attached to Allah azza wa jalla, fulfilling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. Do you think it was easy for Ibrahim alayhi salam to walk away from his wife and his newly born son in the middle of nowhere? That's not an easy sacrifice. But that's where the true sacrifice comes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to do something, you do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you give up what you love most for the sake of Allah azza wa jalla. And years go past where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to go and visit and check up on his son and his wife. And then Ismail alayhi salam grows up, and not grows up to be a good, well-behaved young man, but also a prophet to be in the future. Obviously every single one of us love their children, but you love them more when they are well-behaved, they're doing well at school, when they are righteous and pious. By default, we all love our children, even if they are menaces. Even if they are bad boys or girls, we still love them. But you love them more when they're good boys and girls. Can you imagine Ismail? He's not only a good boy, prophet to be. Righteous, pious. So you could imagine the attachment of Ibrahim alayhi salam, how attached he is to his son Ismail. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salam, with the support and the assistance of his son Ismail, to build a house in the middle of nowhere. So Ibrahim alayhi salam initiates the foundation of the Kaaba in building the Kaaba in the middle of that valley. He just obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him. He doesn't ask why I'm building this place in the middle of nowhere, for what reason, for what purpose, as we always ask, why did Allah command me to pray 5 times a day? Why is it Ramadan? Why I'm not allowed to deal with riba? Why I'm not this? This is why you call full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to build the Kaaba in the middle of nowhere. And Ismail alayhi salam is carrying the bricks while Ibrahim alayhi salam is laying the bricks. And Ibrahim alayhi salam continues to build the Kaaba. until he reached to the height which he needed a rock for him to stand on. He stood on the rock until his legs or his feet sunk into the rock that later on was known as Maqam Ibrahim. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam finished building the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim a command in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِ. Oh Ibrahim, after you built the Kaaba and he established the Kaaba, I command you that you go and call people to come and visit this place. That's when Ibrahim said, Ya Allah, to whom is my voice going to reach to? He built the Kaaba in the middle of Mecca, in the middle of nowhere. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him to start inviting people to come and visit this place. Ibrahim says, Ya Allah, to whom is my voice going to reach to? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, Innama alayka al-bayan wa alayna al-balagh. Oh Ibrahim, it's your responsibility for you to make that call. How people will reach, or how people will listen, or how this call reach people, that's upon us. Your responsibility, make that call. How people will hear that call, that's our job. So Ibrahim alayhi salam will climb the highest peak of a mountain, and he stands on that peak and he looks around, no human being around, and he makes that call, Allahu Akbar. Allah had established his house and he commands it to come perform Hajj and visit this place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the call of Ibrahim reach everyone to the day of judgment. And that's where people respond back to the call of Ibrahim, going to Mecca, to the Kaaba, to visit the Kaaba, perform Hajj. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Ya Allah, we heard that call and we are responding to this call. How did the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam reach everyone, even to people like us, thousands of years after Ibrahim, on the other side of the world? That's the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Ibrahim, and Allah fulfilled his promise. Millions of people every single year respond to the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. You make that call and leave the rest upon us. And this is for you and I, my brother in Islam. When Allah commands us to do something, we just do it. The results come from Allah, not from you, not from me, not from my effort, not from your effort, not from our effort. Results come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outcomes are from Allah, not from you, not from me. Our responsibility is for us to obey Allah Azza wa Jal, to fulfill Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments in our life, and then the rest we'll leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way Ibrahim alayhi salam responded to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeyed Allah Azza wa Jal by making that call, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that made the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam reach everyone. This is a very important lesson. Because many times we connect ourselves to the outcomes before we even do anything. If I'm going to do this, I'm aiming for these now problems, but is it going to happen? That's up to Allah, not up to you. It's not up to you. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether Allah azza wa jal gives you the outcome of the sacrifice that you sacrifice in this dunya or not. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I want Islam to reach everywhere the way day and night had to reach everywhere. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away and Islam did not even go beyond the Arabian Peninsula. But right now Islam had reached everywhere. So at the end of the day, your responsibility as the servant of Allah is for you to please Allah, obey Allah, aim for an outcome and result, and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are always going to connect yourself to the outcome and you only do things because there's an outcome, you will never ever succeed in the da'wah, nor that you ever succeed in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your responsibility is to obey Allah, to fulfill Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rights and commands in your life, and you leave the rest to Allah. It doesn't mean that you don't aim for an outcome. Of course, I want an outcome, but the outcome comes from Allah, not from you. Go and call people after you establish the Kaaba, after you've built the Kaaba, go and invite people to visit the Kaaba. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, oh Allah, to him is my voice going to reach to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, you do your job, and the rest is on us. Allahu Akbar, all people around the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established the Kaaba, and Allah commands you that you come and perform pilgrimage here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you that you come and visit this place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the call of Ibrahim resonate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the call of Ibrahim reach everyone to the day of judgment, that millions of people right now flock to the Kaaba, flock to Mecca al-Mukarramah, responding to the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Years go by where Ibrahim alayhi salam, after one of his visits to Mecca, checking up on his son Ismail alayhi salam, he sleeps that night and he sees a dream. And that dream is a dream of a prophet and messenger. And my brothers in Islam, we all dream. I dreamt of something yesterday. I saw myself, Allah, visiting the Antarctic, for example. It's a dream. It's a foolish dream. When prophets and messengers see something in the dream, it's a revelation. Prophets and messengers do not see foolish dreams. If they see something in their dream, it means it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means it's a revelation from Allah azza wa jalla. It's an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that night, upon the visit of Ibrahim alayhi salam to his son Ismail in Mecca, Ibrahim sees something in his dream. What did he see? Ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk. He saw himself slaughtering his own son and only son Ismail alayhi salam. Which means what? I'm sure you see yourself smacking and bashing your kids in the dream. Does it mean the next day you go and do that? You're not a prophet. It's just a dream. And it could be from the shaitan. But to Ibrahim alayhi salam and all the rest of the prophets and messengers, that's a dream. And whatever they see in the dream, it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salam knew that this is a command from Allah azza wa jal. An order. An order to do what? Slaughter your son. You saw your son? You saw yourself slaughtering your son in a dream. You get up the next morning and you go and slaughter your son. That's the command. He knows the drill. That's the gist of it. So the next day, Ibrahim alayhi salam calls his son Ismail. Who's Ismail? His only son. And he waited for him for many years. And what son? A son who Allah is looking for this opportunity to get rid of him? Righteous, pious, respectful son that every single father would love to have in their life. Ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni adbahak, oh son. And look at this dialogue between the father and son, Ibrahim and Ismail. Oh son, I saw in my dream last night that I was slaughtering you. And he left it to that. You know I'm a prophet. And you know whatever I see in my dream, it means it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fandhur madha tara. What do you suggest upon me? What do you advise me to do? I saw in my dream last night that was slaughtering you. What do you advise me to do? Ismail, he's a righteous young man. Before he was even a prophet and messenger, maybe he was a prophet and messenger at the time, but he knows that this dream is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his father. So what was the response of Ismail to his father after his father told him, oh son, I saw in my dream that I was slaughtering you. Which means what? Allah commands me to slaughter you. In a nutshell, and cutting to the chase, Allah commands me to slaughter you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you suggest? What do you advise me to do? So what did Ismail alayhi salam, a young man, what was his reply and response to his father? يَا أَبَتِي إِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Oh father, do what Allah had commanded to do. InshaAllah, you find me from amongst the patient ones. And don't even hold back. If Allah commanded you to slaughter me, you slaughter me. Allah's command, Allah's orders come before everyone, everything including me as your son. And now Ibrahim alayhi salam grabs his son and takes him where? Where? A walk in the park? Well, I'm going to go and take you shopping. I'm going to go and feed you a nice burger. Where's Ibrahim alayhi salam taking Ismail? He's taking his son and his son knows exactly where he's going. He's going, he's never going to come back. He's going to slaughter him. Along the way, shaitan comes to interject, to intercept what Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail are planning to do. This is a great sacrifice. Allah will be so pleased from it. So the shaitan will do anything to stop pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying Allah azza wa jalla in that manner. He comes to Ibrahim the first time, then Ismail, then to Batham. Each time he comes to them, they cast him with rocks and stones. In which we commemorate that when we do the Jamarat. Until Ibrahim alayhi salam had reached to that point in which he saw in his dream that he slaughtered Ismail at. And he lies him down. And then Ismail tells his father, oh father, make sure that I face the ground. I don't want you to look on my face and then you'll sympathize and then you'll turn back. Make sure you never turn back from Allah's command. The son that's about to be slaughtered and killed is saying that to his father. Allahu Akbar. You know when we talk about submission, that's submission. Yes, alhamdulillah, we submit to Allah. But that's a different level of submission. And make sure you sharpen your blade that when you slaughter me, just kill me. As long as you never hold back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Father, fulfill Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders upon you. And now Ibrahim alayhi salam And it's not easy. Very emotional. Lays his son towards the ground. He grabs that sharp blade. He puts it on his throat. He tries to slaughter his son, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even allow it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon Ibrahim, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. That's it. You fulfilled Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders upon you. No need for you to even pursue slaughtering your son. What we're going to do, we're going to send you a sheep or a lamb from the heavens for you to slaughter in return. And that day became the day that we slaughter, the day of Eid al-Adha. Yes, alhamdulillah, it is day of Eid and we celebrate. But it's also a celebration of the great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is a significance of the great sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much do we really sacrifice for Allah? Ibrahim was willing to sacrifice his son and only son. How much do you really sacrifice for Allah azza wa jal? So from now to the day of Eid, think about the sacrifices that you sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much wealth do you put for the sake of Allah azza wa jal? How much time do you put for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A minimal sacrifice for you to commemorate that day is for you to sacrifice and slaughter the udhiyah. To commemorate that day. Even though majority of the scholars say it's sunnah mu'akkada, a confirmed sunnah. But we slaughter not because, wallah, we slaughter and take photos and selfies and post, alhamdulillah, this is my udhiyah. But for us to commemorate the great sacrifice that Ibrahim alayhi salam sacrificed to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In return, you sacrifice what you love most for Allah azza wa jal. As Allah azza wa jal makes mention in the Holy Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never acquire the high level of iman until you sacrifice what you love most. My brothers in Islam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that verse, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, in Surah Ali Imran, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited that verse, and one of the companions heard it, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, he comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talha al-Ansari, he comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says to him, O Messenger of Allah, last night or the day before, I heard you recite this verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just revealed, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never acquire the high level of iman until you sacrifice, until you give up, until you don't know what you love most. He said, O Messenger of Allah, from my understanding, does it mean that I will never acquire, I will never achieve the high level of iman until I give up, I don't know what I love most? Nabi Sassam said, yes, your understanding is correct. Yes, Allah says it very clearly. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never achieve the high level of iman that every single one of us wants to achieve. I don't want to be just a mu'min. I want to be on the highest level of iman. When I stand before Allah, I want to be a true mu'min, not just a mu'min. And this is your ambition and my ambition and ambition of every single believer, to reach the highest level of iman. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ. You will never ever reach. You will never achieve the high level of iman until you deny, until you give up what you love most. Until you sacrifice what you love most. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, if that's my understanding and my understanding is correct, I only have one farm. This is Abu Talha al-Ansari. I have one farm. And it's the only farm that I have and possess. And it is the most beloved worth to me because it's a farm that I love. And it's the only farm in my life. And after this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed, from today, it is for the sake of Allah. I give it up for the sake of Allah because I want to achieve the highest level of iman. That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. Every single one of us is genuine about connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting closer to Allah azza wa jal. But there's only one level that you could reach to until you start sacrificing more. Until you start giving up what you love most. Not wallah, to give up or to give up the crumbs that you've got on your plate. To give your own plate. Not to give the leftover money that you've got. To give what you love most. To sacrifice. To struggle. As Ibrahim alayhi salam did. He was willing not to sacrifice his wealth. His son and only son and a righteous son. And in less than 2 weeks time from now, we'll be commemorating that great sacrifice. Yes, it's a day of Eid and Eid al-Adha. But it's also the day of sacrifice. A day of sacrifice that we sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We give up what we love most. And part of giving up what you love most is for you to give up your desires. How many times do we desire the haram? Block yourself. Stop yourself from indulging in this haram. And leave it for the sake of Allah and see what Allah gives you in return. Ikhwani, my brothers in Islam, Islam is about sacrifice. The reason that Islam spread to the East and the West because of the sacrifice of the Prophet Muhammad SAW and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the ones who came after them who are our righteous predecessors. And if we want Islam to spread, we need to sacrifice. It's not enough to say, Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim, I pray my 5 daily prayers. That's the bare minimum sacrifice. Escalate it. Elevate yourself. Do more. And sacrifice is not limited to sacrificing wealth, sacrificing your wealth, your comfort, your time, whatever you have. Sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim was willing to sacrifice his own son. So my brothers in Islam, Islam is about sacrifice. And the days of Hajj are about the days of sacrifice. Commemorating, sacrificing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it's recommended for those who do not attend Hajj for them to fast on the day of Arafah. Because the day of Arafah is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives and showers the Hujjaj with His mercy and forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted those who do not attend Hajj to share some rewards, not all the rewards, some rewards for them or by them fasting on that day. For you to fast on the day of Arafah, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, those who fast on the day of Arafah for the non-Hujjaj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive a previous sin of or previous year of sins. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who listen and hear. And I ask Allah azza wa jal to give us a better understanding and comprehension of Islam. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.
Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. It pious person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.